You may not be aware, but today is Ireland's National Workplace Wellbeing Day. Now, in its 10th year, the day itself has served to raise the importance of employee wellbeing across a wide variety of industries since its inception. And for more on this, I'm joined by Dr. Stacey Cannon-Cahill, who is the Assistant Lecturer and Joint Programme Lead at TUS for their MA in Leadership in Workplace Health and Wellbeing. And from Clare County Council, we're joined by Patricia McNamara. And you're both very welcome to the programme. Stacey, as I say, the day is in its 10th year. It seems to be becoming more popular, even though I'm sure some people may not be aware of it, as I touched on. Are more workers and indeed employers becoming more aware of it?
Yes, Alan. Well, firstly, thanks very much for having us on. I suppose with National Workplace Wellbeing Day, it is the 10th year in a row, and I just want to highlight that it's the first country, I suppose Ireland was the first country in Europe to put it in place and to devote a Workplace Wellbeing Day. So I think it's really important just to acknowledge how Ireland has, I suppose, led the way in this area. But with National Workplace Wellbeing Day, I suppose what it's about is to, I suppose, take a moment to rebalance and refocus the benefits of employee social, mental and physical wellbeing as well. So it's a great opportunity. I suppose a lot of organisations across Ireland are doing great things around workplace wellbeing, but it's about celebrating and showcasing what they're doing and, I suppose, bringing that to highlight on today's date.
And Stacey, as I mentioned, it's becoming a thing across a wide variety of industries over the past 10 years. Are there some industries who've been more on top of this? Are there other industries where it either hasn't happened at all or they've been slow to effect change in relation to workplace health and wellbeing?
Yeah, so it varies across, I suppose, different organisations, whether you're a small, medium or large organisation. But it depends on, I suppose, for our own seminar that's coming up, we have award-winning, I suppose, organisations who are leading the way in this area. And one would be Clare County Council, who we have on, and also Irish Rail and Uber. So I suppose they're between small, medium and large organisations, and also looking at, I suppose, public, semi-public and private organisations as well. So there's different, I suppose, factors associated with it. And I suppose one size doesn't fit all either. So it's really about understanding your work needs, your employees' needs, and maybe doing a consultation around that to identify what approach you would like to take when it comes to workplace wellbeing.
And I suppose, Patricia, that workplace health and well-being is important for all concerned, for both employee and employer, because if you have a happy employee, they tend to be more productive, and that's got to be good news for the employer.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely works both ways for the person and the county council. So I suppose we have focused on wellbeing over 15 years. It's been in place. There's a welfare officer to support staff in all areas that we might need in welfare and wellbeing. And we've introduced initiatives and built on them over the years. So I suppose, it really helps the person, you know, in terms of physical wellbeing, mental wellbeing, social and financial wellbeing. So it covers a range of, you know, we cover initiatives across all of those topics all of the time. And it helps the person and the organisation. There's a dual benefit in it for sure.
And what about at TUS, Stacey? We'll get onto the MA in just a moment, but as an institution, as a place of work, what has been done there or has been done in relation to workplace health and wellbeing?
Yeah, so I suppose we're quite, I suppose, as an organisation, new to this as well, but there is, I suppose, programmes and areas that we're implementing. So we're looking, we call them the four pillars in health promotion and, I suppose, assessments approach in workplace here in TUS. So we look at culture to see and what it feels like in the university to see what we can change. Policy development, so around implementing physical activity programs, activities, healthy eating, and also partner up with different organisations around the Midwest area. So again, implementing maybe stress control programs, healthy eating initiatives, working closely with the HSE, and then I suppose rolling out key programs that are associated with that as well across TUS.
And tell us about the MA then. How long has that been up and running, and how popular has it proven to be?
Yeah, so the MA in Leadership and Workplace Health and Wellbeing in TUS is the third year. It started in 2020, and our first iteration of students came in 2021. And there's also, I suppose, there's an online aspect, which is a postgraduate, and then we have an in-house program, which is the MA. So that's a 90-credit module and course. And what it is, I suppose, it's around looking at aspects of college management, strategic focus, the foundations of workplace wellbeing. There's different, I suppose, modules that we support on it. And it also gives an opportunity for students to come on and focus on a research area that they would like to maybe research in their own organisation or implement a health and wellbeing aspect in their organisation through research. And that's supported by supervision hours throughout the semester as well and the course of the year as well. So, yeah, it's been very popular. Our online course is quite popular because it gives that flexibility of being online. And our in-house one is very popular as well. And we have a number of different organisations. Last year we had Defence Forces, we had Social Care, we had people in education, we had people from just all walks of life who are interested in workplace wellbeing as well. So it's very broad in a sense of students that we have in, but also it's, I thought, applicable to everybody as well.
I'm just wondering, Patricia, whether this day, National Wellbeing, Workplace Wellbeing Day, has been up and running for 10 years, but whether its awareness was exacerbated as a result of COVID when people became more conscious of their both their physical and mental health, and whether that awareness has now carried on post-pandemic back to the workplace as more and more people went back.
Yeah, I suppose the focus at the time was when everybody was sent home, how will we look after our staff and what will we do? And I suppose in Clare County Council, we were lucky enough, we had wellbeing initiatives in place and we just got to put those online and offer webinars and, you know, different things that we've always offered but put them online. It definitely shifted the focus, I suppose, for people to make sure their employees were okay in terms of, like, how are they functioning at home, not in a group, and that social aspect, I suppose, that we all need, and physically as well, I suppose, to get out and do your walk and all of that, and nutrition, all of that came into play in terms of COVID, and the focus was on it. We've always done it, I suppose, in Clare County Council, so I suppose the culture was there, so we were lucky enough that people knew, you know, who to approach or what to do or where the resources were when we needed them. So yeah, it was good for us. Yeah.
And Stacey, how can organisations recognise and celebrate National Workplace Wellbeing Day in a way that best supports their staff, their colleagues, whilst at the same time ensuring they don't fall into perhaps the trap of celebrating well-being on only today and using it as, you know, just a bit of a PR exercise for show?
Yeah, definitely. So there is, I suppose, the biggest thing, especially we teach this on the MA, is around communication is key. So a lot of organisations are doing great work in workplace wellbeing, but are failing or, I suppose, falling down on communicating what they're doing. So again, when we look at the 7-step process in implementing health and wellbeing programmes, a key piece of that is to consult with your organisation, with your employees, but also develop a communication plan that you're communicating as your initiatives are being rolled out throughout the year. You're communicating what you're doing and how you're doing it, but also evaluating each aspect of the programme and the wellbeing focus, and to spread that then, so sharing the information with your colleagues and recognising that throughout the year as well. And I know January is always a popular year for everybody, and particularly organisations, to do maybe a health and wellbeing calendar of events. And again, there are small aspects that they can bring in focus. But again, it's not taken away from the productivity of the organisation as well. So again, I would always say communicating what you're doing is essential when it comes to workplace wellbeing.
Okay, well, I really appreciate both of you joining us on the programme this morning. And all that's left for me to say is happy National Workplace Wellbeing Day to both of you. Thank you very much to both of you for joining us. Dr. Stacey Cannon-Cahill, you heard there, TUSA's Assistant Lecturer and Joint Programme Lead for the MA in Leadership in Workplace Health and Wellbeing. And also with us from Clare County Council, Patricia McNamara.